Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Nun Aleph. We have gotten to the bottom of Nun Amud Beis. And good morning. But let's start again with Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, about six lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. An idolatry that gets served with a stick. In other words, I guess the normal way of service is to beat a drum with the stick, or hand the stick to the idol, or knock sticks in front of the idol. If then shavar makal b'faneha, if he breaks a stick in front of it, chayiv, he's obligated, because the breaking of the stick looks like a korban. What's a korban? What's a sacrifice? Taking an animal and slaughtering it, and then putting the pieces into the fires on the altar. So here, the breaking of the stick is the equivalent of the slaughtering of an animal. Zarak makal b'faneha, but if he throws the stick in front of it, then pater, that's not a service. So Amalei Abaye l'Rava, so Abaye said to Rava, Maishna shavar, why is breaking the stick a service? Davle kein zvicha, because that's similar to slaughter of an animal. Because it's breaking, like the slaughter is the slaughtering of the neck. Oh, thank you. So if that's the case, zarak nami avle kein zrika, so throwing the stick should be similar to the idea of throwing the blood on the altar. And so the Gemara Amalei, Rava responded to Abaye, Beina zrika mishtaberes. The definition of throwing is a throwing where things break. They throw blood. So the blood now splatters. Some on this side, some on that side. But to throw a whole item, a stick, that's not like the throwing of the Beit HaMikdash. Veleka, here you don't have a throwing where it breaks. Esve, I'll challenge you. We learned. Safas latzoa, if you fed an idol with excrement, or you took the toilet bowl filled with urine and poured it in front of the idol. Chayiv, so that's considered an act of service, and you are obligated. Rashi says, afilu ein avodasa b'kach, even though that's not the normal way of worshipping this idol. So bishmat avit shalmei miraglayim, I can understand pouring out a toilet bowl of urine. Because rika mishtaberes, that's pouring out the urine is like sprinkling blood in the Beit HaMikdash, because it's the throwing of a liquid. It's throwing something which then splatters. Elatzoa, but feeding the idol with excrement, in what way is that a throwing where it's a throwing of splattering? So if it's not similar to the throwing of the temple, why is it considered an act of service? Answer the Gemara, but Tzoa Lecha, referring to very moist excrement. The very moist excrement, when it's poured or thrown in front of the idol, splatters to this side and to that side. So it looks like the throwing of blood in the temple. And that's why it is considered an act of service.
So it's not allowed to throw urine at the idol?
Yeah.
Because it reminds of them blood.
If it was done as an act of service, it's not allowed. Because it's like the service of the blood in the temple. It is, if you do it as an act of disgracing the idol.
What? That's exactly what I've
done. Here it was an act of... to disgrace the idol is fine. That's good. Says the Gemara. Lema kitzanai, maybe this law of wrath, that you are obligated for avodah zara. When it's an avodah zara that is similar to, when it's an act of service, similar to the acts of service done inside the temple, maybe that's a machlokas tanoi. Because we learn, shachat lachagav, if you slaughter in front of an idol as an act of service, a grasshopper. If Yehuda Machayev Chacham Potrim, if Yehuda says that's idol worship, you're obligated, you get the punishment of idol worship, and the Chacham say you're exempt. This is the argument. Anything which is a little bit similar to the slaughter of the temple creates an obligation. So it's true, a grasshopper's slaughter is not like normal slaughter, but it does look like a little bit the slaughter of an animal, certainly as much as breaking the stick looks like slaughter. Umar Sav, the other opinion is, lo aminan ke'ein zvicha. It's not enough to be like slaughter. Ela ke'ein pnim. The only way you'd be obligated would be an act of service that is really like what's done in the temple itself. What's done in the temple is slaughtering an animal, but not slaughtering a grasshopper and breaking a stick also wouldn't be considered service according to this opinion. Suggests the Gemara, lo, no, you don't have to say that that's the argument. Maybe everybody agrees that you don't say things that are like slaughter create obligation. But you know, the only thing that creates obligation is an act, literally, of slaughter of an animal, similar to what's done inside the temple. So why, with a grasshopper, do you have this argument? No, Shani Chagav, a grasshopper is different. The grasshopper's neck is similar to the neck of an animal. And since the grasshopper's neck is similar to the neck of an animal, Rabbi Yehuda holds that slaughtering the grasshopper is a service of inside the temple. So therefore, it's not similar to slaughter. It's similar to what's inside the temple. And that's why it creates an obligation. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman and Rabbi Ravu Amar Rav. Now Rav Nachman quotes Rav. Again, we're talking about an idol who gets worshipped by a stick, by, let's say, bound, you know, hitting sticks against each other in front of the idol. Shavar makel b'faneha. If you break the stick, chayiv, Rav also holds, that's already considered an act of idol worship. It's an act of idol worship because it's like the service of the temple. It's like slaughtering of an animal. But not only that, says Rav, v'ne'aseres, the stick becomes prohibited as takrovas avodah zarah, as an offering to avodah zarah. Zarat makal faneha, if he threw the stick in front of it, chayiv, he thinks that that's also guilty. Also chayiv. It's also chayiv. The commentators here say that it's referring to a case where that's the service. V'ne'aseres. But throwing it in front of it, even though that's the service, is not considered a takrovas, that's not considered an offering. Offering means something done like what's done in the temple, and therefore the stick does not become prohibited. So Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, so Rav said, Rav Nachman, Maishno Shavar David Kein Zvicha. Why, according to Rav, is the breaking of the stick an act of worship, plus it becomes prohibited as an offering? Because it's considered an offering. Why is it an offering? You broke a stick. Because it's like a slaughter. It's like slaughtering the animal. So Zarek Nami Avalei Kein Zrika. So throwing the stick also is like throwing the blood. It should be considered an offering. Into the Gemara, Amar Le, Sarv Nachman answered to him, Binan Zrika Mishtaberes Veleka. The throwing, which is like the throwing of the temple, is throwing blood in a way which the blood splatters. What you throw breaks up. But here where you throw a stick, it's not splattering. So it's not breaking up. So since it's not breaking up, that's not considered a throwing like the throwing in the temple. Elamayata, so the Gemara says, if that's the case, if for something to be considered an offering to an idol, it had to be a service like the temple. And therefore, if you throw a solid item which doesn't break up, it's not like the service of the temple. Avnai beis markalis b'meyei asru. Why, if you have the markalis arrangement, which we learned about yesterday, three stones, one stone on top of two stones, and then you throw lots of stones on that, create a whole big pile of stones, why is it that those stones become prohibited? Why are they being prohibited, those stones? Those stones are not splattering, they're solids. How do they become prohibited? Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman responded to this question by Rava. Afli Dikashali, it was a problem that I had. Vishil to the Rabbi Baravua, I asked Rabbi Baravua. Rabbi Baravua asked Chia, the son of Rav. And Chia Barav asked his father, Rav. Amar Lei, and Rav said to him, no. That is because Nasa Kimagadel Avodas Kochavim. When when you throw the stones to Marcellus, they're not prohibited because they are offerings to Marcellus. As we just said, according to Rav, an offering to an idol has to be, you know, like the offerings of the temple. If it's different from the offerings of the temple, it's not considered an offering to an idol to become prohibited. The stones of Marcellus are prohibited because they are part of the statue, Marcellus. It's that he's increased this statue. He's built it up. It's because that is the idol. Whereas when you throw a stick, that's not building up the idol. The idol's not made of the sticks. So that's just an offering. An offering which is not like the offerings of the temple, where the throwing is not a throwing of something splattering, it's a throwing of a solid item. Doesn't become prohibited as an offering to an idol. Like our Beit HaMikdash.
Rabbi, how did they slaughter?
One second.
If they copy something that we did, which they did a lot, is it going to be Oser Otano, or we are the original?
Yeah, it becomes prohibited if they copy what we do. If they copy what we do for Avodah Zarah, then...
No, not Avodah Zarah. We do things in Beit HaMikdash, and they're going to do things similar. Like,
yeah, if they do similar things in front of idols, then it becomes prohibited.
For us.
It becomes, yeah, an offering to Avodah Zarah.
Like on Sunday.
The Torah is telling us what to do. How can be a Oser if they want to copy us?
Okay, that's something else, but here we're talking about Avodah Zarah. What's the question? Fire?
How did they slaughter locusts? How did they slaughter? You have to smash them? How, what? They have a chef coming in?
Yeah, shochet, exactly.
Really?
Apparently.
I mean, a grasshopper, how do you kill a grasshopper?
I guess there's some neck there.
Sushi style.
Or you go, you know, like that.
It was apparently some type of a shchita that they were doing.
I don't know.
At the end of this masechet, we want kebab, baby. From you. You don't want to hear.
So one second, the Gemara says, "Hani chalaman darma." That works according to the opinion of what is kochav shalovi kochav masur miyad. That an idol that a non-Jew makes, as we're going to see, it's one of the topics of this daf. An idol that a non-Jew makes right away becomes prohibited even before it was worshipped. So then the stones thrown onto the markless arrangement are part of the idol, so they become prohibited. Elaman darma shetiyavi. But according to the opinion that when a non-Jew makes an idol, it only becomes prohibited once it gets worshipped. So then tishteri. These stones should be permitted. Dalo palcha, because these stones were never worshipped. Amalei, he said, no. Kolachas v'yachas nasis avodas kochavim. V'takrobas l'chavertza. When they're throwing their stones, they are trying to worship. So each stone becomes the idol, because it's being worshipped by the stone that's coming after it. Yachi, if that's the case, Basri Aisamia Tishtari, the last stone on the pile should be permitted, because it doesn't have anything worshipping it. Amalei, so he said to me, Yadit Lezil Shakla, if you know what stone is the last one, you can go take that, because that's an idol that wasn't worshipped by others. Rav Asher, another answer. Kalachas V'yachas, every stone that's thrown onto the pile, Nasis Takroves La'atzma, it is an offering to itself. You're trying to worship this stone. The person throwing the stone is both trying to turn the stone into more of the pile, more of the idol, plus to worship the stone. The tikrovus l'chavert, it's also being a worship of the next stone. And therefore, it becomes prohibited. Tanan, we lived in a Mishnah. Next Mishnah. That's a Barosha. Let's see, in front of the head of the markless pile, you find ksus. Clothing, or ma'os, or money, or kalim, or utensils. Now your assumption is that somebody threw these things down as an act of worship in front of the pile. Harelu mutar, you're allowed to benefit from these things. However, if you find parkili anavim, if you find clusters of grapes, or atara shel shibalim, or stalks that are bound in some type of a crown, or if you find yenos, wine, shmanim, oil, slatos, fine flowers, or anything that like it, which is normally offered on the altar, then aser, then it's not allowed, because what you found is treated as an offering to the Avodah Zarah. So Gemara says like this, bishma yenos, shmanim, slatos, I can understand if you find wines, oils, flowers, ika kein pnim. So that's similar to what you have in the temple. Wine is like the nesachim. oil and fine flowers like the menachos. Ika canes, ika mishtaberes. And wine and oil are things that when you throw them, they break up. Flowers, and that when you throw, breaks up. Ela parkili anavim, but clusters of grapes, or atara shel shibalim, or crowns of stalks. Lo kein pnim ika. It's not like what you have inside the temple. Lo kein zrika mishtaberes ika. That's not the type of item which we said is being thrown in a way where it's broken up. We're talking about where they were cut from the vine to be put in front of the markalus. So the cutting of the vine is the breaking them off of where they're living. So that's like a shechita. So since that's like a shechita, therefore it's like the service of the temple. And that's why it can become prohibited. Amar Rav Avoh, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Avoh says the name of Rav Yochanan. How do we know that if somebody takes an animal which is blemished and he offers a blemished animal in front of the idol, he slaughters it, breaks up the pieces, puts them in front of the idol, he would be exempt? Shenamar, as the verse says, a person who offers to the idol should be killed. He should only be doing such things for God alone. In other words, what does Hashem prohibit and say Yachram has to be punished for? Those things that are like what is done inside, what is done for God. Because it's saying, don't do it for the idol, do it for God. Haviba Rava. So Rava wasn't sure about this law. What type of a blemish does Rabbi Yochanan think would exempt the one slaughtering the animal with this blemish from the laws of idolatry? If we're going to say that there is some problem in the skin over the eye, Hashlevne Loach. Non-Jews, in other words, before the Torah was given, they were allowed to offer such offerings. They were allowed to offer offerings with blemishes on the eye to God. So certainly, if the non-Jews before the Torah was given were allowed to offer such offerings, certainly if such an offering was given to Avodah Zarah, it's certainly a terrible sin. So what are we talking about? We're talking about an animal that's so blemished, it's missing one of its limbs. So missing one of its limbs, that's not a proper offering to God, even before the Torah was given for the non-Jews. Therefore, if that's done to Avodah Zarah, that's not considered Avodah Zarah. Tamar Belazar, Belazar said, how do we know that a non-Jew, even before the Torah was given, is not allowed to offer to God an animal missing a limb? Because it says when Hashem tells Noah to keep animals alive during the teva, when we call achai, we call basar, shnayim, we call tevi la teva lachios itach. So harnuke vayiyu, and from all the living, from all flesh, two of each type you should bring to the ark to keep alive with you, male and female they shall be. Amr Torah, the Torah says, havi behema shachayin, rashi varm shala. Bring an animal whose primary limbs are living. It's not missing any of its primary limbs. Because he knew that Noach was going to bring karbanos. So it had to be an animal fully alive, that all of its limbs are fully alive. So he couldn't use animals that are missing a limb. Ask the Gemara, hi, we call a chai, mibayale, the mute trefa. I thought we call a chai is to teach you it had to be fully living. It couldn't be an animal that's not going to live. An animal that has a hole in the lung or something. So no, that already is excluded from Lahachayo Zera Nafka. When the Torah says you're going to have them to be able to keep life alive, to give birth. And a trefa doesn't give birth. Is that true? Anichal mandam a trefa and yoledes. That's fine if you think that a trefa doesn't give birth. Elamandam a trefa yoledes manikulam hamer. But according to the opinion that says that a trefa could give birth, so l'chayozera doesn't exclude trefa. So then you need to call l'chay to exclude trefa, not to exclude an animal that's blemished. Amakra, the pasuk says, itach, with you. Itach b'domun lach, with you, similar to you. So since Noach wasn't a trefa, so therefore itach, what he brought with him, also wasn't animals that were trefos. Therefore, mikol l'chay is to exclude mechusar aver, missing a limb.
Sounds like he was doing
Noah
korbanot on the ship.
No, when he came off of the ship, he did the korbanos.
Okay, not while he was on the ship.
Correct. So the Gemara asks, "Vidilma noch gufe treifava." Maybe with you means an animal that's a treifa, and Noach was a treifa because with you, like you. The Gemara says, "No, you can't say Noach was a treifa." It says about him that he was perfect. The Gemara says, "No, but vidilma tam bidrachav." Maybe that means that he was perfect in his ways, the way he treated people. The Gemara says, "No, tzadik sibit." Right? He says he was righteous. Vidilma tam bidrachav. Maybe tam means that he was very humble. The tzadik b'masav, and he was a tzaddik in his actions. He didn't steal, but his body was, in fact, a treifa. So the Gemara says, "Lamad says Amrit." You can't say that the Noach gufei treifa hava, that Noach himself was a treifa. Yisal kadaitach Noach treifa hava. If you were to think that Noach was a treifa, so Amar leRachmana de kavasech ayel. Is Hashem telling him, bring in things like you that are treifa, shleimim lo tayel? Don't bring in shleimim. Can't be. So must be itach with you means things that are healthy, like you're healthy. And mikol achai, mikol basar, means an animal that's not missing a limb. So you see that even for Noach and his people, they couldn't bring offerings of animals that are missing a limb. And therefore, an animal that's missing a limb is not qualified to be an offering to Hashem under any circumstances. So therefore, it wouldn't be Avodah Zarah if it's offered to Avodah Zarah. Has to denafka me'itach l'ach yozera lemelis. Now, once we say from itach that it has to be like Noah, why did the Torah also say bring in animals that will produce seed? Of course, it can't be treifas; they have to be like you. So, of course, they have to be able to produce seed. See, me'itach, if it would have only been from the verse that says bring with you, have I mean let's after ba'alma. That just means for company that Noah shouldn't be alone. Afilu zakin, afilu saris. You could even bring an old animal, even an animal that already can't give birth to children. So that's what it says. Not only does it have to be an animal that's going to live, it also has to be an animal, afil sarah, that could give birth to children. It can't be an old animal. Okay. Amar Rebbe Elazar said, minayin l'shochet behem l'mark l'shu chayv. How do we know that if somebody slaughters an animal in front of this pile of stones called markalis, he would be guilty for Avodah Zarah, even though that's not the normal way of serving the stones. Because the verse says, they should no longer offer their offerings to the demons. If I don't need it to tell me, don't do animal worship to those idols, that's the way in which they get served. Because it says, when you go into the land, don't ask, how do these nations serve their gods? And therefore don't serve the way they serve. So must be it's new English lokadarka. Must be it's for, even if that's not the way this serve of this religion service, if it's the way of God's service, it's not allowed. Asks the Gemara Vahala Achyudas, is this what this is coming for? Haimi boy Lukitani, we need this verse for the following brisa. The Torah says that there's a prohibition of giving karbanos outside of the temple, outside of the Mishkan. So the pasuk says, "Ish ish min beis Yisrael, o asher yishchat michutz lamachaneh." So ad kan till this pasuk, lo yizbechu od esivcheihem, umedaber b'chachim. It's talking about karbanos sheikdishim mishas Yisrael bamos. That once the Mishkan was put up, he made them holy, and he's not allowed to then offer them outside of the Mishkan. And he offered them when there's a prohibition of offering things on private altars outside of the temple. Because the Torah talks about their punishment. Shenamas it says, and he didn't bring the carbon to the entrance of the temple, and he deserves kares. So here we see a punishment, kares. As Harminayim, where do we see the Torah warning us not to do it? Tamalomer, that's what the pasuk says. He shamer lecha pen ta'alel osecha b'chol makom asher tireh. Watch yourself, lest you offer your offerings, your olos, in any place that you see. Ukdir b'avan amr rabi'ila. That's like b'avan in the name of rabi'ila. Amr b'avan amr rabi'ila. Kol makom shenemar he shamer upen va'al. If the Torah says anywhere, watch yourself, or lest, or not. Eino ela b'lotase. That's a prohibition. So from here and on, after this pasuk, it's referring to karbanos that were sanctified before the Mishkan was put up, and you were allowed to offer on private altars. V'ikrivan b'shas Yisrael b'amos. But after the Mishkan was put up, that's when they were first offered. So once the Mishkan was put up, you also can't offer it outside of the Mishkan. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, l'man asher yavu b'nei Yisrael sivchem asher em zovchem al p'nei asadev yavim l'ashem l'pesach ol noit. So that the Jewish people will bring their offerings that they are slaughtering over out in the field to the entrance of the temple. In other words, asher em zovchem means sheitart l'chakvar, things that I did permit you to offer out in the field because it was before the Mishkan was put up. Now they're going to bring them, instead, they should bring them El Pesach Ol Moed, they should bring them to the temple, not outside. Then the Gemara, the Braisa continues, Al Pnei Asadeh, on the face of the field, Malamet Shekol HaZoveach B'Vama B'Shas Yisrael B'Amos. This teaches you that anyone who offers an offering outside of the temple, when already the Mishkan's been put up and you can't offer offerings outside, the Torah considers it as if he's offering to the field, in other words, as if he's offering to the field, as if he's offering Avodah Zarah. Then the Torah continues and says, Vivium Lashem, he should bring it to Hashem. So mitzvah sasei, there's a mitzvah sasei to bring these karbanos to Hashem, to the temple. Mitzvah slo sasei minayin, where's the prohibition? Tamalom, because the pasuk says, V'lo yizbuchu oda sivcheihem, last yirim asherhem zonim achrihem. So yachol yeh anish kares, so maybe you would get kares for such an act. Tamalom, that's what the pasuk says, Chukas olam tiyeh zos lachem, an eternal law, this shall be for you, zos lahem, this shall be for them. Lo acheres lahem, but not kares. So this pasuk is talking about shchutei chutz. If you have animals that were made into a karban, even if they were dedicated at a time when we didn't have the Mishkan, you can't offer them outside of the Mishkan now that we have a Mishkan. So where do we see what we just said, that you can't slaughter an animal to Marcellus, even though that's not the way to worship Marcellus? So my answer is, Amar Rava. Rava answered, you could have just said, V'lo yuzbechu et zivcheihem. Why does it say, V'lo yuzbechu od et zivcheihem? Pre-base, that's what the way to read it is like this. V'lo yizbuchu, they should not slaughter these animals that are karbanos outside of the Mishkan. The Kribe would also read in it, V'lo yizbuchu od, and they shouldn't be offering further, they shouldn't be offering offerings to Marcellus, even though it's not the way to worship Marcellus with an animal. There is still the prohibition of worshiping Marcellus with animals. Okay, next Mishnah. We saw this quarter before. Matzah Barosho. Let's see, at the head of this Marcellus pile, you find mos, coins, ksus, clothing, okalim, or utensils. Then, areilu mutar, you're allowed to benefit from them. You're allowed to benefit from them. Parkili anavim, but if you find next to the Marcellus, clusters of grapes, atara shel shibarim, crowns of stalks, yenos, wine, shmanim, oil, slatos, and fine flowers, or anything which normally gets offered on the altar, also then it's not allowed, because then we're worried that maybe they poured the wine in front of this thing, and then there's the prohibition of them doing to the idol an act of service, which is normally done in the temple, so that's considered an act of service. Ask the Gemara, Minani Mili, how do we know that the money, the clothing, the utensils would be permitted? I'm Rav Chiya bar Yosef, I'm Rav Ashi Oshia. Rav Chiya bar Yosef answered in the name of Rav Oshia. The one verse says, V'atiru et shikutzeihem et gilulehem, and you saw their abominations and their idols. Eitz va'even, wood and stone, kesev is zahav asherimahem, gold and silver that they had with them. So that sounds that they were offering gold and silver, because it's called shikutzim. So it should be prohibited. The Kasav Echadam, another verse says, Psilei Elohim tisrifun ba'esh, burn their idols, lo tachmo kesev zahav aleihem. Don't desire gold and silver over them. So that sounds like gold and silver is what's prohibited, but not stone, not wood. Okay, so it's a contradiction. The first verse said that stone and wood are also prohibited. So the verse is saying, says the Gemara, it's like this. Imahem, With them, when the verse says, the first verse, Vatiruchi Kutsei Hemet Giluhem, Eitz Vaevan, Kasav Izahava, Sher Imahem, is Dumya Da Alehem. Has to be like Kasav Izahav Alehem, Kasav Izahav on them. So Ma Alehem, Davar Shal Noy Asur, Sheno Shal Noy Mutter. Alehem means what is on them. Gold and the silver that's on the idol to make it beautiful. That's what's prohibited. But things that are not to beautify it are not prohibited. Af imahem, so too, when it talks about that means davar shel noy, if it's placed there for beauty, aser v'sheino shel noy, if it's not there to beautify, mutter, it's permitted. So one second, v'ema, why don't you suggest alehem dumya di imahem, over them, like with them, ma imahem kol mash imahem. So maybe imahem implies anything that's with them, even if it's not for beauty. Af aleihem kol shaleihem. So to aleihem, even if it's not for beauty, would be prohibited. Imken if solo yomar aleihem. It shouldn't say aleihem. It already said it in the word imahem. So therefore must be it's to say that only things that are for beauty. So now, going to our Mishnah, asks the Gemara. The Gemara is assuming that the Mishnah is saying when you find next to Marcellus coins, clothing, or utensils, it's because it's not to beautify Marcellus. So Gemara says, one second, but most davar shel noyu, but coins make something more beautiful. So it should be prohibited. Ami debe Rabbi Yanai, they answered in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, bekis kasher v'tel b'tzavaro. We're talking about coins that are in a wallet, and the wallet is hanging over the neck of the Marcellus pile.
That is permitted.
So that doesn't look like it was done to beautify it. Because if it's to beautify it, they would uncover the coins. So therefore, that's where it's permitted, because it's not to beautify. So, davar shel noyhu. So one second, garments is to beautify, it should be prohibited. So talk about a folded garment. And again, placed on its head, it doesn't look like it's to beautify it. Kli davar shel noyu, utensil is to beautify it. Amar Rav Papa, no. The utensil is like the long goblet, which is overturned, and therefore it doesn't look like it's to create beauty. Amar Rav Asi, Bar Chiya. Rav Asi, Bar Chiya said, kol shehu lifnei min akil kalim, any item for in front of the idol worship, the idol. That's within the curtain that they've put around it. Even if it's just water and salt, aser, that is prohibited because that's already considered an offering to the idol, like what happens in the temple. Because water and salt also get offered in the temple, like water and ansukis and salt together with karbanos. So that's already prohibited. However, let's say you have an idol, and around the idol there is a curtain, and outside of the curtain you find water and salt. So then it would be okay. Davar shel noy, but if there's something there that's to make it more beautiful, I don't know, some gold shavings, that's prohibited because of the pasuk of Asher Imah and Asher Aleihem. Sheino shel noy, but not something which isn't of beauty, mutter, that would be permissible. Am Reb Yosef Reb Chanina. Naktinan, we have a tradition. Ein kilkalin lo lepor v'lo lemarkalis. You don't have this law of the curtain for poor and markalis. So what says Lamai in regards to what halacha? Ilei medafilu pnim kechutz dami v'shari, that even if you have inside water and salt, it's as if it's outside and it's permitted. That doesn't make sense. Hashtapurim ifarin kamei. They in front of poor, they actually go to the bathroom. So my melech lo makriven lei. So why wouldn't they also offer to it water and salt? El afilu chutz kipnim dami. Even outside of the curtain, it's as if it's inside the curtain v'asur, and it's not allowed, because since the whole way in which these idols are worshipped is in a very demeaning and disgraceful way, so they don't have any idea. Oh, there's a curtain. There's respect. What's inside the curtain is a respectful display. What's outside the curtain is not a respectful display. They don't have any sense of respect. Since they don't have any sense of respect, all of it is prohibited. Next Mishnah. Avodas Kochav Mishayelagino Merchatz. If the church has a garden or a bathhouse, Nen Mehen Shelo Betova. You're allowed to go and benefit from it, so long as you're not giving benefits, paying the priests. However, Vein Nen and Mehen Betova. If the only way to get benefit from it would be to pay the priests, to give them a favor, then you're not allowed to do it, because then your money is adding to idol worship. Let's say the bathhouse or the garden belongs both to the church and to other people in a partnership. Then man bein betova and shalom betova. Then you can benefit even if you have to pay. It sounds like that. We'll get to it further. Avodas kochavim shalom kochavim asur miyad. An idol of a non-Jew, once he makes it, is prohibited. V'shal Yisrael, but an idol of a Jew, in Asura, it's not prohibited until it actually gets worshipped. Okay, Rabbi Hananya ben Akiva.